from the latest on Caribbean cruises to kosher safaris, pilgrimages to Jewish Eastern Europe, and award-winning wines and international cuisine in sun-drenched Tel Aviv. Sit back and enjoy the trip with the travel edition of the Jerusalem Post podcast.
We're on our travels again.
We certainly are. And do you remember a few episodes ago, I said the summer I like to go further north to avoid the heat?
Yes. So we've gone into cold Eastern Europe, except it's not cold.
Today is way up in the 90s, in the 30s.
Yes.
And it's humid. And we are in
Tarnów, in Lesser Poland, as it's known.
This is the southeastern part of Poland, which has changed hands so many times. And we're going to be spending the next week or so in that part of the world that has flipped between various rulers. It's on the border with today's Ukraine. We thought a great place to start, rather than the usual tourist trappings, would be in a local market.
We're in Tarnów Market. We're outside a pharmacy. There's a butcher and lots of little things that say sklep on it, which I believe is Polish for shop.
We had one problem arriving here, which was that our luggage didn't quite make it. We had a really tight connection between our flights, and our luggage is making its way across. So one of the reasons that we came down to this market was to find a couple of T-shirts.
Which we did. And we look like twins now.
Oh, absolutely do, because everything here tends to be fairly standard in look and feel. And I would say, certainly in terms of the women's wear, things look very old-fashioned. Imagine the 1950s, the sort of picket fence, or even what your image is, I guess, of how things were in Eastern Europe 20, 30
years
ago.
So we're both in very nice floral dresses. We are 5 minutes from our lovely hotel, which, and I'll say it now, and we'll probably say it at the end, the Polish Tourist Authority have organised for us. We are on the main Rynek, or square, in the centre of Tarnów, surrounded by bars and life. But we've come 5 minutes walk outside, and we're in proper, genuine Tarnów.
I think many people, when they travel, want to tick off the big destinations. So you go to St. Mark's if you're in Venice. You go to the Vatican, not to just mention churches, if you're in Rome. But I think one of the joys of travel, at least for me, is to go slightly off the beaten track. And you don't have to go that far, as is the case in a small town like Tarnów, to actually see how real people live, get a flavour, see the prices, see the different types of vegetables, the clothing we've mentioned, the shopping baskets that people are walking around with.
This is an important trip for us. The idea started a year ago. David and I were going to go to Krakow, where we flew into last night. We were going to go and do a sort of heritage tour, starting in Krakow and then going into the Ukraine. I was inspired by my son's school visit to Poland, where he spent a week visiting Jewish history and a number of the camps in Poland. So David and I wanted to at least do some form of heritage. It's not our first trip to Poland. Instead of doing the original trip, which was cancelled by COVID, we've now got a slightly different itinerary.
We're going to be bringing you a mix. You're going to get Jewish heritage, those stories of what things were like here in the old days. We will also learn, of course, about what happened in the 1930s and 40s. We will also bring you some surprising stories of some of the Polish people who saved Jewish lives. On top of all of that, we're also going to bring you a bit more of the Polish story.
We're going to go to wooden churches, folk museums, wine tasting, spas that used to be run by the Communist Party in the 1980s, all sorts.
So stay with us as we bring you southeastern Poland.
Hello, my name is Kinga Smułka and I work for the museum in Tarnów. And now I'm going to show you the place where I work. The exhibition is dedicated to the Polish nobles culture and I look like a Polish noblewoman from the 17th, 18th century.
It's 34 degrees out there. Is this the Polish summer outfit?
No. You have No.
Fur on you.
No, but it's special for you, you know. It's hot, but you know. If you are ready, we can start our journey. And now we are going to visit the interior of the town hall. And then I will take you to the cathedral church, yes? The tower, yes, we need to climb at the tower.
Is there not a lift?
No, unfortunately. Oh. But you know, it's good exercise. I have a free gym in my place of work. I am fit, thanks to that. First, about the beginnings of our town. The town was built in the first half of the 14th century. It was 1330 by Spitzimir Levita. He built the town and he started a new family who ruled in Tarnów. It was the Tarnowski family. And they ruled the town until the second of the 16th century, and later I will take you to the cathedral church where there are two of the highest grave monuments in Poland, maybe in Europe. We are in the biggest room in the town hall. On the walls you can see the polychromy from the 17th century. Unfortunately, it was destroyed by a fire. But in the room there are paintings of Polish nobles, mostly from the 17th and 18th century. And here you can see how the Polish nobles looked like.
Two very nice outfits over yes. there against the wall. Yes. Can you describe the outfits, please?
We see a man's outfit. The outfit, the noble's robe, is from the 17th century, and it came from Turkey. And when Polish noble, visited France or Germany, people there thought, okay, he's a Turkish man, no, not Polish man. And that kind of noble's robe is called kontusz. It consists of a župan, kontusz, a belt, boots, and a hat. It was very typical, from Polish nobles from the 17th, 18th century.
The woman's outfit looks a lot more sort of French.
You are right, because, Polish women preferred West outfits.
Two minutes until the bell goes.
I hope.
Do you want to give us a brief description of the view from up here on the tower? We've climbed all this way, and when we get our breath back...
Now we are looking at the east part of Tarnów, and that part of Tarnów was inhabited mostly by Jewish people. The Jewish community in Tarnów was very, very big community. Before the Second World War, it was 25,000 Jewish people. It was around 45%. It was a huge and important community. And also that part of Tarnów was destroyed during the Second World War, a lot. The east part of Tarnów, the ghetto was located, a lot of buildings was also made of wood, and during the war, after the war, that part was destroyed.
So the buildings we see now would have been built after the war?
Some of them, yes.
We went past a wooden church earlier when we were out shopping, David and I. Is that older than that church?
No. The wooden church is from the 15th century. In Poland, that region of Poland, there are a lot of wooden churches, mostly from the 15th century. And that church is on the other side of the town. Now we are in the church, the oldest one in Tarnów. The church was built in the first half of the 14th century. Now we are looking at the highest grave monument. That monument was built in the second half of the 16th century, and it is over 13 meters high. The monument was dedicated to the last members of the Tarnowski family, and it was built by a great Italian artist, Jan Maria Padavano.
Kinga, thank you so much for that tour. It was amazing.
Thank you. I am so sorry that we need to finish. It was very nice to meet you and learn more English. I hope that, my English will be better after your visit. Thank you. Have a nice day. And I hope see you soon in Tarnów.
My name is Hubert Tarnowski. I'm a historian from the Tarnovian Museum, and I have a pleasure to guide with the building that this Tarnovian Museum of the city and the region. So, the museum is designed specially for the groups of school children to provide them with the basic knowledge of the Tarnovian history and to learn it more about the region itself, about the famous people or buildings inside the Tarnów city. Special fun for them are the tickets with 5 holes that the children going to the exposition could take 5 sounds. And we will see how that works. The last age displayed in this room is the Roman period. Roman influences goes far beyond the borders of the empire, and other peoples try to mimicate their pottery, their tools, their weapons. So
the museum brings so much of history, including the very black periods of the 20th century. At the start of our visit, you gave us the tickets and you said we have places for children. And as we've been talking, whether we've been recording or not, you've always talked about children. Now we're in the middle of the Second World War, and some of the images are not child-friendly. So how do you deal with that?
We have to tell the truth to children. The 20th century, especially the first part, was very important for many nations, but for Poland itself especially. So we want to talk to them about this very bad regime, the Nazi regime that were here. We've got some objects that represent, for example, Nazi ideology. We see that on every almost object there is something from the ideology. It's very important because all the totalitarian regimes use that. They want to incorporate their thoughts, their ideology on every object. So that is important. Also, we told about people, the people who lost their lives in this brutal, these harsh times. It is important to remember not only the murders, the people who do the bad things, but also the normal people who live there.
We're now by the Central Jewish Cemetery in Tarnów. We've swapped guides yet again. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Good day to everyone. My name is Magda Michal Bartos. I work for the Committee for the Preservation of Jewish Heritage in Tarnów. I will guide you through the Jewish history of Tarnów. The cemetery that we're going to visit is one of the very few Jewish cemeteries that survived at all in Poland. And it is the most beautifully redone Jewish cemetery in Poland and one of the most beautifully redone cemeteries in Europe. There's no Jewish community in Tarnów anymore, that we'll talk about more detailed later. This cemetery is still in use. So it means that we can have funerals here, burials, and you are very lucky in a way, because three days ago we had this amazing story that happened here, a funeral of bones, remnants of a Jewish girl that was murdered during the Shoah and was buried in a hall by people who had raped and robbed her and just threw her body into a ditch. And she was there with her friend, but the second body was not found yet. One of the girl's body was found, and we had a funeral of her 3 days ago. The cemetery has quite a long history, one of the oldest Jewish cemeteries, again, that survived in Poland, dating back to late 1600s. It served the Jewish community of Tarnów even after the Second World War, after Holocaust, when there still was a small Jewish community. Apart from old matzevas that survived, newer and older, what we have here is a few mass graves. Tarnów had a very large Jewish population. I mean, percentage-wise, it was the most Jewish city among mid-sized large cities. The ghetto that was created by the Nazis here later, actually, we don't, of course, know exact numbers, but it is more or less probably around 40,000 Jews passed through that ghetto. Many of Jews from the ghetto were brought here and murdered at this spot and buried here in a few mass graves.
So they were actually murdered here at the
yes.
cemetery. My eyes are drawn to a column in the middle with some Hebrew on it, which says Hashemesh Zarcha, and I can't see around, but the sun is shining.
And was not ashamed.
Quotation
from a poem of Nachman Bialik that he was written after pogrom in Kishinev, which was the early 1900s.
Mała Polska, Lesser Poland, fact file. The main airport is Bielicki Airport in Krakow. LOT Polish Airlines flies direct to Tel Aviv and Chicago. Air France, BA, Lufthansa and KLM also fly into Krakow. Budget airlines Wizz Air, EasyJet and Ryanair fly to Krakow from all over Europe. Getting from the airport to Krakow city centre is around 25 minutes by car, and you can reach Tarnów in an hour. Krakow downtown can also be reached by train, bus, taxi and ride apps such as Bolt and Uber. Krakow has global hotel chains but also many small boutique hotels. We stayed in the Ujana Hotel in Tarnów, Rynek. For those wishing to take a rest from busy city life, large resorts and spas offering numerous health treatments await you in picturesque surroundings. $1 will buy you 3.7 Polish zloty. The climate in Poland is temperate. The average temperature in the summer is 19 degrees Celsius, 66 Fahrenheit. However, on some days, temperatures reach 30 degrees Celsius, 86 Fahrenheit. January and February are the coldest months with temperatures below freezing. The most popular regional products in Mała Polska are Ostrzypek, which is cheese from the Tatra Mountains, and Obwadzionek, which are parboiled dough rings. Kosher food is available in some places in the Kazimierz district of Krakow.
We're now surrounded by 3- and 4-story buildings. Presumably some of them were built at the latter end of the communist period. We have, across the road from us, a fascinating looking building, which looks almost Middle Eastern, but I'm sure we're about to get a description of it. And behind us on the other side is a sculpture along with memorial points. Where are we and why are we here?
This place is called the Square of the Auschwitz Prisoners. The monument that we see here is commemorating the first transport ever at all to Auschwitz. We're talking about June 14th, 1940. These prisoners, over 700 men only, and among them there were only few Jews, but not because they were Jewish, but more because of they were a Polish elite people. These people got numbers, they had the numbers from 30 up. First 30 numbers got capos. These prisoners built Auschwitz. Some of them survived, none of the Jewish ones.
Let's switch gears and talk about the building on the other side of the road, please.
You can still see the beauty of it, although it's pretty run down. This is the mikveh. It is a building of kosher Jewish bath alongside with just regular baths. It was built in 1905.
Just for Jewish people or for the whole community?
This is, you know what, it's a very good question. I was just thinking about it yesterday. Look, back then, most of the apartments had no bathrooms, no bathing tubs, so people came, they used it, and actually it was still used when my father was a young man. It was still used as public baths. No mikveh anymore. There's nothing, that no remnants of the mikveh in the basement.
But what I can see now is on the left side it says Kuchnia Żydowska, and on the right side Jewish cuisine.
Yes.
So is this a restaurant?
It is a restaurant that you're actually going to have a Shabbat meal today.
I look forward.
Yes, I know. It was supposed to be a surprise. it is called the Old Mikveh, the Old Bath.
As long as my food's not going to be wet.
No, I think we'll...
Do I need to bring my swimming trunks for the baths for dinner tonight?
Look, they may think that you're a bit weird, but you know, you're Brits, Israelis.
I've known him for 30 years. They would be absolutely right.
Okay, so you're in a good company.
Okay. We have come to Zalipia, which is a village one of its kind in the world. In fact, we've been told by our various guides that the people who crave this village the most in the world and come specially to see it are from Japan. Mark, do you want to describe what we're looking at?
Zalipia is essentially a village, lots of houses hand-painted by the residents with flowers. I think there's an annual competition every year, and each house has its own flower motif of Polish flowers with blues and pinks and purples and lots of greenery around it. And every house has a different theme. We've come inside a museum and we're in an old Polish kitchen, I think.
Yeah, the museum is clearly built within one of the houses.
Yes.
And it's brought together the best of. But you're right. So straight in front of Mark, we are looking at an old
oven.
Wood-burning oven,
yes.
I would imagine. And it is blue with pinks and reds. Do you know why blue is the dominant colour here?
Yes.
Go on. There are two reasons.
I believe that in this village, to cover the cost of it, blue was one of the cheaper paints.
Correct.
So a lot of people went for a predominantly blue flower arrangement.
Another reason I have discovered, according to one of the locals, is that apparently, and this is something across also the Mediterranean countries and Eastern Europe, you'll see lots of that sky blue, light blue. We also see it in Israel. In Israel, we're told this is almost a lucky colour if you go up to Tzfat or Safed in the north.
Yes.
But the reason they say here and in this part of the world is it apparently keeps the flies away.
Oh.
Yeah, really interesting. And when you're an agricultural community, that makes a lot of sense. Now, let me take you back more than 100 years. This village was not attractive. It was dilapidated. The houses were dull. They were dirty. They were grey on the outside. And then the village council got together and said, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come to put a little bit of pride back into our village. And so they began whitewashing. Everything was white. But white is too bright, especially on a day like today where the sun is so strong. And so bit by bit, they just painted various patterns onto the walls until eventually they came up with the idea of the floral motifs.
To my left is a particularly special piece. I don't know if you remember, in some houses, Grandma used to have a knitted dolly on top of the toilet roll just to hide it.
Or a tea cosy.
Here is a flower motif lampshade with probably 200, 300 taffeta flowers put together in...
Taffeta, good word.
Good word, in various different shades. It's eye-catching.
Mark, as if we hadn't eaten enough, we should mention a little bit about the food we had today. At Ujana, which was the hotel in Tarnów, we had a typical buffet style breakfast brought to our table. I don't know if that was because of COVID restrictions or not. Then we had a vegetarian meal in Pau na Pau. That's the one. I can't do that. In Tarnów. But ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself. For those of you who are worried about Sabbath observance, what we are about to do is pre-Sabbath. We are about to take part in a Sabbath Eve one-off meal and klezmer concert in Tarnow, run by the lovely Magda and her family, and their guests will just be local people so that they can share with them and let them understand what Jewish culture is all about. We said to you that we were going to our Shabbat dinner, but on the way we have stopped off in a cafe called Sofa, right in the heart of Tarnów, and we've done so to meet a very special guest. Sir, please can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and your town?
Nazywam się Roman Ciepiela.
My name is Roman Ciepiela, and I've been the mayor of this town the third time and the second in role. I've been in local politics for over 30 years.
Running a town has many challenges, there are many roles. How important is tourism for you amongst all the other things that you do, all the other hats that you wear?
Tourism is important, but we of course need to keep the right scale. Being only about 80 kilometers away from Krakow and Wieliczka, this is a big challenge for us to be competitive. Pandemic ruined everything. We are hoping for things to get back to normal, but how fast it will happen, nobody knows. We've been observing recently a very interesting phenomenon that since people are afraid of crowd, we get people coming to Tarnów because it's less crowded. We consider it to be our chance, our new opening, because our town is full with history, 700 years of history. And I have a feeling that we are not completely discovered yet.
I mam wrażenie, że nie jesteśmy do końca odkryci.
Could one of the strategies be for a smaller town like Tarnów, a smaller city, be to link up with, twin with other similar-sized cities in Poland and work together maybe to offer a double center holiday, something of that nature?
Zdajemy sobie sprawę z tego.
So we understand that a good strategy is to have a network of different attractions, and we do have it already in Tarnów because we have few different routes through the city, Renaissance route, Jewish route, yeah, wooden architecture route, and now we are working on wine. We already have a few wineries, local wineries, that serve very good wine. Unfortunately, it is more expensive than the Spanish wine, so I don't really like buying it, but it is very tasty, good wine.
I have a complaint to make, because now I've heard there's a rock concert as well as the klezmer concert, and if I'd have known there was a rock concert, I know where I'd have been going. Mr. President, thank you so much for your time. You are a wonderful ambassador for your city. You have a great sense of humor, and maybe sometimes you should be one of the tour guides as well, because you would make a lot of people smile.
In the background, a beautiful klezmer concert in the center of Tarnów at the Bima, which is the last remaining part of the main central synagogue of Tarnów. Magda, our host, is taking us on a quick 10-minute walk around some more Jewish parts of the city.
First Jews who lived in Tarnów, they actually lived outside of the city walls. We are talking about the 14th, 15th century. And only later they got a privilege from the owner to move into the city, but under a condition that they will not leave a certain quarter. They were allowed to buy a few houses and live in these houses. For a long time, they were not allowed to buy properties, especially in the main square. But after the city went through some hard times, the owner decided that Jews will be good for pumping economy. And from then on, the old city, the market square, became more and more Jewish. Before the war, only one building in the main square was not Jewish, and this was the Bishop's Palace. The oldest Jewish part of Tarnów is concentrated between two streets. One is called Żydowska, a Jewish street. Almost every Polish city has a Jewish street. And the second one that we are actually standing in is Wexlarska, Wexel, money loaning. That's one of the very few professions that Jews were actually allowed to do for a very long time. Tarnów, before the war, was half Jewish. And it was a very vivid and also very diverted population. We had very Orthodox Jews, we had Hasidic Jews, we had Zionists, we had Bundists, which means the Jewish socialists. There were people who were completely assimilated, the Haskalah people. And the majority of lawyers, many of the doctors, and the majority of the of business, especially small businesses, were actually Jewish. And a lot of properties, especially in this older part of town, were also in Jewish hands.
Earlier today, we were introduced to your father, who heads up the committee for the restoration of Jewish heritage in Tarnów. I'm sure I've got the name wrong, but that's essentially what it does. Can you tell us what your father and the committee does to help restore Jewish history in Tarnów?
The story started over 30 years ago when my father was still the director of all the museums in the region of Tarnów, and he could use the means that he had, his employees, to do some cleaning, for example, in the cemetery. The cemetery was completely run down. Slowly they cleaned it from bushes, from trees, and then with time and getting money from all different sources, recently from EU, some grants also from the city, from the Ministry of Culture, we've been restoring the Jewish cemetery, which we already visited earlier, but also taking care of other monuments of Jewish culture past. But also a very important part of our activities is education. I mean, we work not only with really preserving the past, but we want to, based on it, we want to build some better future. I know it sounds very idealistic, but it is basically what we do. We educate people, especially young people, and many of our activities are done for the local community. There's no Jewish community in Tarnów at all. There are very few Jews living in Poland today. So really what we do, all the preservation and education, is for the local people, for the goyim, for not non-Jewish people, but also for the Jewish groups, tourists that come here. And I have quite a long experience working as a tour guide with groups from also Israel and the States, but mainly Jewish groups. And I know that the education is needed from both sides. As much as we Jews have some prejudices and stereotypes about Poles and the history of Polish-Jewish relationship, it's a vice versa as well.
Magda Bartosz, you have been such a wonderful, wonderful guide for us today. I've learned so much, I've seen so much, and David and I have had the most amazing time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I just want to mention that on not only being Polish but also Israeli, I did an aliyah a few years ago, but I chose in the meantime at least to live in Poland and to come back to my hometown to help my father in the working with the community, because I think it's a really important thing that we do. It's more of a mission than work, really.
Dozens of locals have come down to the Bima to hear this klezmer concert. We're going to enjoy that, followed by our Shabbat dinner. So for now, it's time to wish you a Shabbat Shalom.
And after Shabbat, we're going to leave Małopolska and head on to another region of Southeast Poland for another podcast. We'll catch up with you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now.
Special thanks to our hosts, the Małopolska Tourist Organization, the City of Tarnów, and the Polish Tourism Organization, and specifically Dorota Zadrożna, for all her help putting together this trip. I'd also like to thank the Orchestra Świętego Mikołaja for their music.